Welcome back to the Pagan Podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about Norse mythology and Norse paganism. So the history of the Norse mythology is basically it started before the Viking Age, but it was more prominent as a religion in the Viking Age, which happened between 790 and the 1100 CE, which was originally called Scandinavian mythology, and was established with a wide range of deities and realms that spread out beneath the world tree of Yggdrasil, which held 9 realms. And all of the deities were like in these 9 realms, all of the different 9 realms. So Norse mythology is an incredibly rich and profound like myth or lore. Full of important tales and poems of the Germanic society from Scandinavia and the European nations. Germanic mythology, which is also called German mythology, is not only one story, but it is a belief, and it was practiced by the Vikings who lived in the Scandinavian countries in the Viking Age. But it was also practiced by the German people. What the Vikings call their faith, or if it was still, like, took a family, like religions, no one really knows. Like, they just had this as their daily life. It wasn't really considered like, oh, this is what we believe in, or this is our faith or whatnot. It was just, this is our life and this is what we do. And the Vikings weren't really recognized more for their work, but more for their words. They were skalds or storytellers, law speakers, singers, and some of them carved runes during the Viking era in like metal or wood or stone, as most carvings are now found today in stones that existed between 790 and 1066 CE. And these runic inscriptions were really short. They weren't like long stories. Some of them were like on big stones, but they're pretty small. And I'll probably do a whole segment just on the runes, because there's a lot of stuff to learn about them. But the one thing that I wanted to bring up is Ragnarok, which was the battle between the forces of order and chaos in Norse mythology, but it is believed that it was the fall of all of the gods and that there was no afterlife. But it's based on how you perceive it, because if you look into Norse mythology, the people that died went to either Hel or Valhalla, which you can still, like, people could, like, come out of Valhalla or Hel, as, like, there was a story with Loki who tried to get someone out of Hel, and Loki, like, tricked them into, like, leaving them there. I'll try to make a whole story based on just that, and I'll probably call it, like, Loki the Trickster or something, to deal with Loki and that whole like fight. And I'm pretty sure it was Odin's son who had died, if I remember correctly. But I wanted to talk about Ragnarok more, and Ragnarok is basically the event that ends the cycle of the gods as a whole. It's basically the end of the gods, and it occurs when the gods break free from their order and begin to fight to save the world that they have created, because obviously they want to save their world. But they knew that Ragnarok was a fate, like, they couldn't control it. All they could do was fight to try to prevent it happening, even though they knew it would still happen. Because that was, a big thing in Norse mythology. It's that they had this fate, and they knew that it was going to happen. They couldn't really stop it. But you can change your fate sometimes, or you have, like, some control over it. But I'll try to get into more of that. But like with Yggdrasil, there's 3 women, the past, present, and future, who like weave men's fate. And it's said that you could like have an influence on your fate, but you can't, like, I guess you can't really change it. Like, it's, there are things that happen and they just happen because that's how it is. That's how fate will go. And then I wanted to talk about Christianity, and before Christianity was a thing. So Norse mythology or Norse paganism was around before Christianity, and then after Christianity had like taken over Scandinavia in like the Viking, I guess, era, all of the words or books and stuff from Norse paganism were written down by Christians or people that were influenced heavily by Christianity. After it was widely accepted as the religion, many things were transmitted orally, so they couldn't really keep it as like fact per se. It was just kind of word of mouth, like, this is what happened, and they would tell it to another person or they would write it down eventually. But some of the poems in the Codex Regis were also included in the Poetic Edda, but they were written by the Christians or people that were heavily influenced by the Christian vision. So take what they say, like example with Prose Edda, take those with like not so much of like fact, but more like this is kind of true in some parts, but some things might be changed with a Christian influence. So we don't know how much of it is true, but we wouldn't know the information we know about Norse mythology or Norse paganism without those books, because they were written so long ago by word of mouth that we wouldn't have that information if they weren't written down by those people, even though they had a heavy influence on Christianity. But anyways, I'm going to go find another page, and then I will come back. And so basically, the world of, like, Yggdrasil, all of the Nine Realms were created when Odin and his brothers slew the primal frost giant Mer. And it comes to an end when the giant rises against Odin and his comrades and kill them in battle, which is believed to be Ragnarok, which is the certain doom that awaits all of the gods and men alike. But it's like a noble war. Like, they know that they're gonna die, but they do it anyways. And it was the only way to enter Valhalla, because like I said, Valhalla is a place where the gods went when they died. It's basically like a hell. Like, there was also a hell in Valhalla, but like, it wasn't a bad place. It's where everybody went after they died. It was basically, I guess you could say it was basically like an afterlife, but not really. Like, they were still, their souls lived on, if that makes sense. That's the only way for me to comprehend it. I think it's just like a place where they went to carry on. But moving on to the gods, so there were supernatural races in Norse mythology. The Aesir were the primary race of the gods, which included Odin, Thor, Tyr, Balder, and Heimdall. I'm trying to say these right. And they lived in Asgard and held temporary power over the cosmos. They aged like mortals, but these gods renewed their youth by eating magic apples. And their reign would obviously end, and they would die at Ragnarok when evil overcomes good in the final battle. And then you have the Vanir, which were the secondary race of gods, and not essentially different from the Aesir, but in ancient times the Vanir and the Aesir battled one another until a compromise was reached, in which the Vanir were admitted into Asgard. Among these gods were Frey and his sister Freya. And then there was also the giants. Whether frost giants or mountain giants, there were terrible magicians who lived in Jotunheim, and they engaged in contests with the gods and would shatter the cosmos at Ragnarok. And then there are the dwarves, which were a subterranean race of craftsmen. And then the Valkyries, who are choosers of the slain. They were female warriors who selected brave mortal fighters who died in the battle to live in Valhalla in Asgard. and the attendants of Odin, the Valkyries, were also immortal. They were immortal waitresses that refilled the drinking cups in Valhalla, and they were visible only to men about to die fighting. So basically, I guess they were like kind of the people that like were like angels in a way. They're like, oh, we're here to take you to Valhalla because you are about to die right now. Like, if you see them, you're like, oh, I'm about to die, like, right now. So, and then, now I'm going to just talk about the major Norse gods. So, Odin, as most know, was the chief god, or the All-Father. He was a master of wisdom, magic, and poetry, and he was a protector of courageous noblemen in war. He was also the great god of the slain. Odin was blind in one eye because his eye was taken out, and he like put it into a, what was it, a waterfall, I think, or a pond or something, where a golden he wore a golden breastplate and a helmet and carried a magic spear and rode an incredibly swift 8-legged horse named Sleipnir. I'm trying to say these words right, but it's really hard. And then on his shoulders perched two ravens, Hugin and Munin, thought in memory, that flew throughout the world and reported everything to him each night. And then you have Frigga, who was Odin's wife, who was also wise, and she protected brave warriors whom Odin neglected. And both Frigga and Odin had kids together. And then there was Thor, who was the god of thunder, a powerful deity, upright in character, but fearsome to his enemies. He protected peasant warriors and possessed a belt that doubled his strength, iron gloves, and a magic hammer, called a Mjolnir, which always struck its target and returned to Thor's hand. And then Balder, the son of Odin and Frigga, was essentially favored and loved by nearly everybody in the world, but he was the first god to die, killed by Loki's treachery. And then Tyr presided over public assemblies, legal matters, and battles, and his hand was bitten off by Fenrir the wolf, a monstrous enemy of the gods. And then Frey, who was the god of vegetation and fertility, and Freya, his sister, who was the goddess of love and beauty. And then Heimdall, who was the watchman of the gods, stationed on the Rainbow Bridge. Bifrost, that led to Asgard. His trumpet would announce Doomsday. And then Loki, who although was allowed in Asgard, was the son of a giant. Full of malice and cunning, he perpetrated much mischief. He was like the trickster, until the gods bound him in a cavern with a venomous serpent to torture him. He fathered three mighty monsters, including Fenrir the wolf and Midgard serpent. And then Hel, who was the goddess of the netherworld, and half her face and what had like human features, while the other half was blank, and she ruled the dead. And now I'm going to talk about the creation of, like, Ragnarok, or the catastrophe. So, at first, there was only, like, a great void, but the void was formed a region of mist and ice, while to the, like, south grew a region of fire. I'm going to try to read this word right. Niflheim was the name of the north, and then Muspelheim of the south, and the heat from like the latter melted some of the ice from the like of the former, which shaped Myr, and the frost giant, which with like a human form, and Myr is that like was the giant that like Odin had to fight in order to create the worlds. The nine realms, I guess you would say. And then from Myr's sweat came the race of the giants. And as the glaciers melted, Further, a huge cow was created to feed the giants. This cow, in turn, was fed by salt contained in the ice, and then one day it licked the ice, and hair emerged. On the next day, a head, and on the third day, Burr emerged. Fully formed, Burge had a son, Burri, who had three sons, Odin, Vili, and Ve. These three were now a new race, not giants, but gods. They banded together and murdered Mur, which now most giants drowned in Mur's blood, which created a great sea. From Mur's body, the three gods made solid land, earth, and from Mur's skull, they made the vault of the heavens. And then Odin and his brothers then created the race of the dwarves. From the maggots in Mur's body, other gods joined these three, and they were together. They erected Asgard and all its halls to be their own home. And then after having, like, this supremacy, the gods made their first mortal, shaping a man from an ash tree and a woman from a vine. The gods bestowed breath, energy, a soul, reason, warmth, and freshness on this first couple. And from their male descendants, Odin chose only the bravest to live in Asgard. And after they died, for these warriors, they would aid them in the final showdown with the forces of evil at Ragnarok. And the cosmos were supported by a tremendous ash tree, which was Yggdrasil. And one of its roots extended to Niflheim, which was the Netherworld. Another to Jotunheim, the dwelling place of the giants. Another to Midgard, the home of man, and went to Asgard, the home of the gods. In its upper branches lived a squirrel and an eagle, while at its rootage lived the serpent Nidhogg, I don't know how to say all of these right, which gnawed away until the end of time, the whole structure would collapse. In the meantime, the Norns, or Fates, watered the tree to keep it from dying. Odin knew the power of the gods were not eternal. Basically, he knew that at one point they would all die. So he and his comrades would die when the giants and demons rose against them to fight them again. The last fight would take place in Vigrid, a field 100 miles in length and breadth. Odin would be swallowed by Fenrir the wolf, but his son would avenge him. And Thor in Midgard, and the Midgard serpent would destroy each other. So would Loki and Heimdall and Tyr would slay Garm, the fierce dog of Niflheim, and be clawed to death in return. The stars and the heavenly bodies would plummet from the sky as the earth sank beneath the sea, and the twilight of the gods would become night, and the universe would exist no more. Yet there still existed a power, the Nameless One, that would give birth to a new world beyond the edge of time. So basically the story of that was there would be an ending, which would be Ragnarok, and then there would be a new birth of a new world that would live forever. So depending on how you read it, you can read it as this was just an ending to a beginning for an eternal life for the gods, or you could read it as that was the end and there were no afterlife, but I read it as there was birth to a new world that is nameless, that would live until beyond the edge of time, which means like it would be an eternal place for the gods to live. And that is the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed the brief history of Norse mythology from my point of view. I will try to touch more on this and get really in depth with certain parts of it, but that was just a brief overall history of like creation and ending of Norse mythology as like a whole.